Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi there, kids, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. But you may have known that already. Sitting across from me, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there!
You might have also known that already.
So, Chris, tell me if you recognize this quote.
Okay, Jonathan.
You may not. You may not. It's one that I've seen bandied about a bit since we started talking about this topic, but
stop
here we
bandying.
Go. Inventions reached their limit long ago, and I see no hope for further development. It is not the patent office.
Okay.
Which is the other famous one.
Yeah, that is a funny, funny quote.
This is Julius Frontinus of the 1st century AD, a Roman engineer who worked in water the management, essentially, back in the day, which was a Thursday.
Sorry, I almost didn't notice that.
He said back then, like, inventions had reached their limit, and that's it. We have gone about as fur as we could go, as people in Oklahoma would say.
And it was a fur piece.
And I'm talking about Oklahoma, the musical, not the state.
Right.
But it's okay. He said that humans had reached the peak of ingenuity. He's not the first person to say that. He's not the last person to say that. Another very famous quote that's been bandied about recently, again, more bandying, was from Charles H. Dwell, who was the commissioner of the U.S. Office of Patents in 1899, so just before the turn of the century. He said, famously, "Everything that can be invented has been invented."
Yeah, he submitted – that was in his resignation.
Yeah.
I'm resigning as head of the patent office because it's all been done.
Yeah, we're done. Yeah, it's just a Bare Naked Ladies song now. We're done. And
I'd like to hand him, I don't know, let's think of something obsolete already, like, 8-track tapes.
Yeah, right.
hey, yeah, check this out.
Take a look at this. Mm-hmm. And this is something we don't use anymore. Unless you're in my dad's car. So yeah, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah. That player hasn't worked for years. So the two quotes of people famously saying that we have reached the level of ingenuity that we are capable of reaching and nothing beyond that is within our grasp and we should just settle down and make ourselves at home. The reason why I bring those up is because the topic we're talking about today is the whole reason we're talking about it is because of a discussion that happened online on Facebook of all places.
On Facebook.
And it was started by a guy named David Sachs, who was a founder of Yammer. Yammer is this... It's an enterprise social network. So a social network meant for businesses. And
very popular business social network.
He founded it and then sold it in mm-hmm. June of 2012 to Microsoft for $1.2 billion with a B dollars.
That is a princely sum.
A princely sum indeed. You could buy a lot of pie with that princely sum.
Pie.
And he created this company, sold it off to Microsoft. Well, the reason why we're talking about this is on Facebook, he posted, and here I'm going to read the full quote. "I think Silicon Valley, as we know it, may be coming to an end. In order to create a successful new company, you have to find an idea that, one, has escaped the attention of the major internet companies, which are better run than ever before. Two, is capable of being launched and proven out for around $5 million, the typical seed plus Series A investment. And three, is protectable from the onslaught of those big companies once they figure out what you're onto. How many ideas like that are left?" So he's essentially saying the environment that we now all live in is not conducive to a small, nimble startup coming out and challenging these big Goliath companies that are in the tech space. And so saying that it's getting increasingly difficult, if not impossible, to make a successful company. However, his question, how many ideas like that are left? Like how many people can come up with an idea that's effective, that is going to capture people's imaginations, to get support, and that has not already been thought of by one of these big companies? Well, a fellow by the name of Mark Andreessen answered that question and said...
I know that name.
Yeah, I'm sure it netscaped you. Andreessen said, "An infinite number. Human creativity is limitless, which doesn't make it easy, but does mean the opportunity is unending." So Andreessen's saying, you can't put a cap on human ingenuity. Every time we've done that, people have proven that it was a premature statement. And that there are always going to be people out there who come up with these great ideas. And to say otherwise is not really being honest with yourself. And then there became this big discussion with lots and lots of people. Andreessen bombarded the Facebook page with about 7 or 8 comments in a row where he was making his points and refuting the points that Sachs had made. And it became a discussion between the two. So today we wanted to talk about Silicon Valley. Are its days numbered? Does it even make sense to refer to the industry in general as Silicon Valley now? And maybe, or are we all just arguing over semantics? Could we just agree that Silicon Valley kind of encapsulates the idea of the tech industry and it doesn't really refer to a geographic region anymore? And once we get past that, is everything cool?
Well.
Yeah. So I guess first we need to talk about what Silicon Valley is.
Yeah.
It's a place. Silicon Valley refers to a region in California where a lot of tech companies first got their start.
Yeah.
Big, big name tech companies.
Yeah. Yeah. As it turns out, there's a university out there called Stanford.
Yeah, a lot of smarty pants were there in Stanford.
Yeah, we've mentioned them many times, just simply because it's one of the places where technology folks ended up going to school in the first place, and then they didn't really go far physically to start their companies. They went, you know, I like it here.
Yeah, so, the weather's nice.
Yeah.
Apart from the earthquakes.
Which it is. Yeah. That's not really weather.
Not here.
The geologic formation is nice, apart from the earthquakes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a nice place to be. You're around a lot of other smart people and, you know, even people who didn't necessarily go to Stanford. Places like Cupertino.
Yeah.
You know, there are garages.
Right.
There are a lot of garages out there.
Yeah, that's something we should talk about is that, you know, it is something of a trope to talk about Silicon Valley and getting your start in a garage, but
several of them actually did.
If you've been listening to Tech Stuff for any length of time, you've actually heard us talk about some of these. HP started in a garage. Google started in a garage. Apple started in a garage. Origin Games, I should say. Mm-hmm. Origin Games started in a garage. Richard Garriott did. Of course, that was not in California. That was in Texas. But
the garage thing.
Yeah, the garage thing was this, you know, this idea that there was a time, and perhaps that time is now over, but there was a time where an enterprising and innovative person or group of people could get together in a space like a garage, build a concept, turn it into reality, and make a viable business out of it. Not just a viable business, but potentially an empire. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to describe Google as anything other than an empire at this point, at least as far as, you know, web advertising goes and internet search as well, and making big roads into things like smartphone adoption and other areas of technology. That all started in, you know, building a few servers in a person's garage, and then it took off from there.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, and that isn't really to put down the rest of the technology world. Of course, there are famous other areas where lots of tech companies have gathered. Of course, the Seattle area in Washington,
sure,
where Microsoft and Nintendo famously mm-hmm. have headquarters. Places in Texas around Austin and Dallas, you know, TI and Dell and all those guys are
sure.
down there. You know, there's lots of tech innovation going on in other places. Around MIT in Massachusetts and Harvard, they're together. Places down here in Atlanta where
yep.
Georgia Tech is, the Georgia Institute of Technology. So,
and other countries in the world too. I mean,
sure.
you know,
those
companies in Japan and in Germany and really any country you can, you know, almost all of the countries have some sort of tech presence.
Yeah.
Not all of them, obviously, but many of them do.
Israel has a strong tech community. So that it's not that Silicon Valley is the be-all and end-all.
It is not the omega and the alpha or the alpha and the omega.
Right. However, it did have a nifty name. Somebody decided to call it Silicon Valley because in the valley right there were lots of tech companies. And I think that, frankly, it's inadvertently a marketing thing.
Yeah.
So we think of tech coming from Silicon Valley.
Yeah. So if you think of it as Silicon Valley, the region,
the actual region,
you could argue that yes, the era of Silicon Valley, like new companies coming out of Silicon Valley, is if not over, slowed to a crawl because you've got so many established companies there already. And frankly, something as practical as the amount of money it would take to rent a garage has increased to the point where it is prohibitively expensive for a new company that doesn't have any money. So
yeah, if you permit me an analogy.
Sure.
It sort of reminds me of an up-and-coming actor moving to Los Angeles.
Or New York City.
Or New York City. Well, I was going to say to break into movies.
Okay.
Or TV.
Los Angeles. Yeah.
To New York City or Broadway you know what? I'm going to go up there and I'm going to get a job.
If I can make it there, I'll make it anywhere.
And I'm going to, you know, stake out a famous director's house or I'm going to be
this never works, by
on the
way.
Corner cafe because I know so-and-so was discovered there. Really?
Yeah.
And you know, okay, so I'm going to move to Silicon Valley and I'm going to start a brand new tech company with this idea I've got. It doesn't always work like that.
Yeah. So if we think of Silicon Valley as like that physical place, then I guess you could argue
maybe
that era's over. But if you're looking at Silicon Valley more as a general term for the technology industry,
yeah,
and the idea of small, nimble companies starting up and really making a go at it and becoming these big companies later on, like the Googles and the Amazons and the Apples out there and the HPs. I think it might be a little premature to call that. Now, to be fair to Sachs, he did later go and elaborate upon his point because this was a Facebook status that
yeah.
he posted.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't an article for a magazine or a newspaper.
And I think it was more of a thing he was mulling over in his head.
And maybe we should also be fair. All right, so let's think about this for a second. His company had just earlier in the summer been bought by Microsoft.
Yeah.
Right? So he had the experience of building a company up and seeing that company go up against some really established big companies. And he saw that the opportunities for his company to succeed on its own were limited,
mm-hmm.
and that it was going to be a very difficult road if he chose to keep his company his own and not to sell to anyone. It would be really hard to make a success story out of it because of the competition he faced against these monolithic companies.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a point. If you come up with an idea that's really, really innovative and is popular,
mm-hmm.
then it's only a matter of time before one of these other big companies makes a go at that same space.
Right.
You know, they might not be copying your idea, you know, exactly, but they may be aiming for the same general target that you're aiming for. And then these companies have way more resources than you do.
Yeah.
So it may just be a matter of time before they end up, you know, wiping you out. And so his point is saying, look at my experience. Like I sold to Microsoft. So there's some critics who have said that he's taking too narrow a view because of his own personal experience with this situation. And in fact, I would argue that there are success stories, relative success stories out there that contradict what he said, in the sense of think about Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter is the short messaging version of social networks that is popular. Well, it's not the only one that was out there. And,
no.
And some of them were backed by big companies. Google had Jaiku,
mm-hmm.
which was very similar to Twitter.
Which they acquired.
Yeah, they acquired Jaiku. They bought Jaiku. There you go. You've got Jaiku that was, again, a smaller competitor first and then bought by Google. They suddenly had the power of Google behind them, but that went away. Twitter became the place everyone went to. So, you know, it is possible, I think, for a company to do this, because if they do it well, there's no guarantee that a giant company is going to do it well. They might be able to throw a lot of money at it, but it doesn't mean that their product is going to be compelling enough to convince people to use it versus some startup product.
Well, yeah. I mean, why bother starting something like Facebook when you've already got Friendster?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those are good arguments, though. I mean, granted, Facebook's at a level that Friendster never was, but the point being, but MySpace was, was dominating for the longest time, and people couldn't even imagine someone dethroning MySpace from the social, network scene. And then Facebook did it and handily, as it turns out.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
So I can see what Sachs's point is here. I don't entirely agree with it. Now, he did come out and say later that he wanted to clarify. He thought that if you were to create a startup, you should aim for the fringe of what is already out there. Mm-hmm. Because the big companies, he likened those to redwood trees. Enormous redwoods, funny. Right? Yeah, it does. There might be, especially since his company was bought by Microsoft, right? So
that's Redmond.
Yeah, but close enough. He's got these giant, these giant redwood trees that are casting lots of shade on the ground. So to plant a startup in the shade, you don't have a lot of chance of having it grow. Mm-hmm. It's not going to get the sunlight it needs. So he says the better thing to do is go to the edge of the forest and plant your startup there. And what he means by that is don't look to provide a service that one of these giant companies already is providing. So we'll use maps as an example. Let's say that there's a startup where they feel like we've got the killer approach to providing online maps.
Okay.
Problem is, you've already got companies that are doing that. You've got Apple and you've got Google both doing it in the mobile space and on desktops. Yeah. So what, and there are others as well. Those aren't the only two. It's just those are two I just grabbed right off the top. Yeah. So the barrier you have is huge.
True.
But if you come up with a service that none of these companies are doing yet, you know, none of them have figured out how to do, or none of them have even thought of doing this particular thing, mm-hmm. and you start a company, then you have a much greater chance of success. And I think a lot of the people who are initially criticized Sachs's point, which again, you know, was probably the first thing he had thought of. He hadn't necessarily really debated it heavily by the time he posted it on Facebook. I think they would agree with that. I think Andreessen would agree with that, because Andreessen's point is that, for a large company to go up against a small company, it needs to not just be big, but competent. And that's a big point, because these, like I said, these big companies might be able to do certain things really well. But when it comes to adopting something new, that's hard for a big company to do.
And they may not be as agile.
Exactly.
And making changes, no pun intended.
Well, and that's a natural evolution for most companies, right? When you're a startup, you're nimble. You can try lots of things, and you're very quick to act on those things and to build your business that way. And you take lots of risks. Once you get established, well, then you're looking at stability. You're not necessarily looking to continue taking these crazy risks, because you've got a lot more at stake now.
Right.
So you're looking at, how do I sustain what I have and build on it without going crazy and running all over the place like I did when the company was tiny. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they don't have that luxury that the smaller companies have. And so they may have the money and they may have a lot of resources, but they might not have the flexibility to do that. So mm-hmm. That's a good point as well.
Yeah, I was heartened to see that the conversation that they were having was civil and productive.
Yes.
You know, unlike some, I mean, it was primarily the two of them. They did make it public.
Yeah, no, there were lots and lots of comments.
It was a really good discussion.
It was not a YouTube
flame
war, which was nice.
No. But, you know, I was also reading, this is one of the reasons I was interested in looking at this, was reading recently that about some of the other areas in the world you might not necessarily think of as being tech stars, or sort of coming on, you know, making a name for themselves in the tech world too. Apparently, Mexico actually has quite a few tech startups that have been launching recently. And there's a lot of American investment. You know, you'd think of the venture capitalists out in Silicon Valley and other places looking for tech startups here. But they also look abroad, and they have been taking notice of a lot of the places in Mexico, and also in places like Chile, where there are venture capital funds. And in some cases, like, for example, a Startup Weekend, which is founded or, you know, gets its money from the Kauffman Foundation, now has 13 chapters in Mexico, and that's second only to the United States. There are other governments around the world that are encouraging tech innovation. So it is very possible that in addition to our own literal Silicon Valley, there will be others like it in other countries all over the world. And there will be innovations coming for those markets specifically, and things that you know may become global sensations in their own right mm-hmm. in the years to come. And so it's funny because while he's looking at, you know, we're talking about the possibility of Silicon Valley here in the United States sort of waning in its ability to generate new products, other places that maybe, you know, are on the edge of the forest in that analogy,
right.
you know, might be taking off.
Yeah. And I read an article on Inc., INC.
Right. The business magazine.
Written by Eric Sherman, which was titled An End to Silicon Valley, Not Even Close. And Sherman also was obviously refuting Sachs's points.
Yeah.
But there was one thing that he said that I don't think was – I don't think that was Sachs. He's refuting something that I don't think Sachs was establishing.
Okay.
And his statement was about how the idea about protecting your idea from big companies. And one of the problems is that a small business might find itself in is running into patent issues.
Yeah.
Where big companies own thousands and thousands of patents, and it may be that some aspect of that small company's business model could infringe upon a patent. And then where do mm-hmm. they go?
Yeah.
If they can't license it, then they're out of luck. So, but Sherman says that the big companies often buy these smaller companies. Like how can you say that these aren't viable? Because like you were saying with Jaiku, Google bought them and, mm-hmm. you know, Google bought the company that designed Android and all that kind of stuff. But I think Sachs's point was that he was talking about a company being successful as its own entity, not as something that gets bought by another company.
Yeah.
And so, that's one point that Sherman makes that I don't think addresses what Sachs was actually saying. I think, you know, it's Sachs's idea of success means that you are making it based upon the viability of your company and how it can compete in the market, not whether or not you're attractive enough to get bought.
Right.
But, I think we will definitely sometime in the future have to have an episode about companies that were designed or seemingly designed from the ground up specifically so they would be purchased by another company.
Yeah. Yeah. And there have been many of those.
Yeah. Or at least that's what it appears to be, you know, cause sometimes it's hard to tell. Like sometimes you see a company that gets bought up by another company and you're thinking, was that their plan the whole time? And then there's some companies that you would think, well, if that was their plan, why haven't they done it yet? Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Twitter's the one I always think about because, you know, the whole revenue question for Twitter has been a big issue since it launched.
Yeah.
And everyone, I think, expected someone else to sweep in and buy Twitter. But at this point, it might just be too big to be bought, at least not for anything less than an astronomical sum of money.
I was going to say, if Yahoo's not too big to buy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. All right. We already talked about Yahoo extensively. So
yes, we did.
We don't need to go back to that one. All right. Well, I think that's a good discussion. I think, yeah. I think Chris and I both agree that Silicon Valley, at least as far as the idea of the startup tech industry mm-hmm. version of Silicon Valley, is not dead. It's definitely more challenging.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's more challenging to get a company off the ground and make it successful and keep it going without too much interference from the big companies. It's definitely harder, but it's not impossible.
Yeah.
And it all depends on your idea and the execution of it. And that, you know, the fact that you have good business sense as well as a good, you know, just a good product. It's a tough combo to get. Not everyone can manage it. But I think it's still attainable. So guys, if you have any topic suggestions for things that we should talk about on this show, you should email us. Our address is techstuff@discovery.com, or drop us a line on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle at both of those locations is techstuffhsw. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.